This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. A group in La Crosse has been hosting an International Women's Day celebration since 2013. The event features women who live and work in the La Crosse area, but come from another country. It's a chance to learn about other cultures and how women are treated in other parts of the world compared to the U.S. This year's event will be held Sunday, March 8th at the UW La Crosse Student Union. WPR's John Davis got the chance to learn more about the event. He sat down with Lois Gilbert, who's chair of the event's planning committee, and Lema Kabashi, who's an associate professor of special education in the Department of Educational Studies at UW La Crosse. Lema is from Kosovo and is a panelist at this year's event.
So, Lois, I want to start with you. Why is La Crosse a good place to celebrate International Women's Day?
La Crosse is not diverse. We can all agree on that. La Crosse has had recent episodes of racist incidents, and the community has come together over those. We have an administration right now that has taken a different approach on immigrants and refugees, and yet we're a nation built by immigrants. So we started this event in 2013 with two sponsoring organizations, AAUW and UW La Crosse Department of International Education and Engagement. And now we have 14 sponsors. We have 12 other community organizations. And our crowd size has gone from 50 to close to 250. So it has shown us that we have people who want to meet the neighbors in our community who maybe they don't know.
The theme for this year's event around the world is hashtag Each for Equal, which I know has something to do with social media. But what does that mean? What are we celebrating this year with that as a theme?
I think we are celebrating this year that each of us needs to work towards gender equity. Whatever our gender identity is, we are all in the same race with the same color blood, and we each have a stake in making the world more inclusive.
Lema, you are serving as a panelist this year at the event. What is your story? Could you, I don't need to go back to birth, but how does one get from growing up in Kosovo to coming to the United States?
First of all, I want to say that it's an honor to represent women of Kosovo, and we have a long history and all as a country, but also, my country is kind of the newest country in the world because we became independent only 12 years ago. So we just celebrated our 12th anniversary of independence. Growing up in Kosovo, really as a woman, I would say that it wasn't only, you know, changes or differences being a woman. It was being an Albanian woman because Kosovo suffered from oppression from Serbia as a country, and as a result of that, my youth, instead of being in schools and doing, you know, what youth will do, it was mostly filled with protests in the streets for equal and human rights, and also really trying to survive, surviving from gas poisoning in schools because schools were segregated, Albanians in the afternoons and Serbs in the morning. And when school buildings were only frequented with Albanian students, then they poured sarin gas in schools. So I was one of the people or students at that time that suffered from the student poisoning too. Then after, you know, high school, I started college, and on September 3rd, 1991, we had this massive protest, and all Albanians were in the streets protesting for, again, human rights, and everybody who was part of that protest was fired from jobs, was kicked out from schools. So we thought that that was just temporary. How can they do that for, you know, the whole country? But it wasn't just temporary. It lasted 10 years. And in 1999, as you probably know a little bit about the history of my country, there was a war, conflict in Kosovo, and until June 1999, when NATO troops actually won, then Serbia withdrew troops from Kosovo and finally became liberated. But it was still under international protectorate. So Kosovo didn't become an independent country until 2008.
When did you come to America?
I had a chance to come in 2005 because I was part of the University of Pristina, where I studied and then I started working there as an assistant. And there is a different position. It's called assistant professor, but it's not equal to assistant professor here. But still, it is that rank that you have to kind of go in the university there. And I started coming here in more in the capacity of people, young people who were trying to reform a system of education in Kosovo. And I was one of the team members from those two groups. I came in 2005 two times at the University of Pittsburgh. And that was really the time when I found a passion for special education, because we were showing more like places where you can see education, how it works, not only in schools, but also in higher education. And that's when I had a chance to go to University of Pittsburgh, but also Slippery Rock University. And I found how we can help students with disabilities. And that was it. That was when I found that this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And I did complete a master's degree at the Slippery Rock University. Then in 2007, I started my PhD at the University of Pittsburgh in special education, specifically early intervention. And I graduated from University of Pittsburgh, and the first time that I actually applied in higher education was here in La Crosse.
So you leave Kosovo before independence?
Yes.
What was life like, not only for women, but all, everybody? I mean, when you left, what was life like?
Kosovo was destroyed after the war. So I was actually teaching last night. One of my students was talking about, you know, setting events, we call it, because my class is about behaviors. And one of the setting events, one of the case studies was power went off and this person didn't have coffee and then he was really upset. So I said, you know, the setting event is not something that happens frequently. So I was trying to explain. I said, if you are in Kosovo, that might happen, because after the war, power was frequent. So we had 2 hours that we had power, and then 4 hours didn't have power. That was because the country was really in the ruins. And after we came back, because as part of, you know, I shared the fate with my people in my country, and we were, because of ethnic cleansing, we were in Montenegro, my family and myself, and a lot of Albanians were all over the place in other neighboring countries. But we still returned to Kosovo, and we started rebuilding the country. But it was hard. That's why I said that we came in the capacity of young people who wanted to reform the system of education. But because Kosovo didn't have special education at that time, and even now doesn't have a department of special education in the whole country, then my contribution is more if I work here and help my fellow counterparts there than if I go and don't really have anything, you know, where I can contribute, because we still don't have a special education department there.
So when you left Kosovo, were things equally as bad for men and women, or?
Yes, because we just shared the same fate. It wasn't about what religion or Albanians, they are three different religions, but there was never an issue. Albanians don't have that, you know, discrepancy between what religion you have. It was always fighting for the, you know, survival, because being an Albanian, it was something that people, you know, I would say in the fight against Serbs was that oppression. Serbia wanted to, you know, to oppress Albanians. Not, it wasn't between, you know, Albanians or those, you know, fights between Albanians. It was against two different countries, I would say.
Lois, I know that human trafficking is a cause this year at the La Crosse event. What is happening with that, around that?
Well, the experts in sex trafficking in La Crosse are the FSPA. Sister Marlene Weisenbeck has come and spoken with AAUW, and she was actually appointed by President Obama to receive national training on sex trafficking. The reference we're using for that to tie into International Women's Day is that AAUW will be doing a collection of new and gently used bras. The initiative is called Free the Girls, and people can donate these as they attend our International Women's Day event. This is to help women who are former sex trafficking victims in El Salvador, Mozambique, and Costa Rica. This is to start them to have something to sell, to have an income so they are not as financially exploitable as if they weren't having any income. So this is to help sex trafficking victims in these countries reintegrate into their communities.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. I'm John Davis. We're talking about this year's International Women's Day celebration set for Sunday, March 8th in the UW La Crosse Student Union. Our guests are Dr. Lema Kabashi of Kosovo. She is one of the panelists at this year's event and is an associate professor of special education in the Department of Educational Studies at UW La Crosse. We're also talking with Lois Gilbert with the American Association of University Women La Crosse. She is the chair of the planning committee for the event. Lima, I'm curious, could you compare the rights for women in Kosovo with women in the United States?
One thing that I want to mention is that Kosovo is a developing country. So if nothing else, that might tell that there are differences between, you know, women's rights in Kosovo and women's rights in the U.S. However, we are really fighting hard as women in the country that here and there to fight for our rights. And in Kosovo, we just had elections just a few months ago, and among 15 ministers in the government, five of them are women. And the Speaker of the House is a woman, too. She is actually one of the graduates from the University of Pittsburgh, which is my alma mater, and I'm really proud of her. And also, historically, you know, Kosovars, Albanians, because Kosovo was part of Albania, so Albanian is the term that I would use more going back into history, that we really have... It's more like traditional Albanian law that they respected women. So if we look back in history, women were always respected. And it was kind of, I would say that if you touched a woman, that means that you had to fight with the whole tribe. So it wasn't something that you could take it lightly. But in days, I think that women in Kosovo, they are fighting for their own rights, and there is this movement that, like here, you know, women want to have the right for education and the free speech. And when I was growing up, that was a little bit hard because my generation, education wasn't as easy to be really attained for many reasons. And one was that it was unsafe because of the oppression in the country. So a lot of families might not have had that opportunity to provide the education. And also because of the developing country, Kosovo didn't have the means to really afford, you know, because of financial crisis, to afford maybe educating their children. And especially when they had to pick between woman and man, they probably would go with man because still the society has those biases. Man is still favored over woman. And I think, especially in rural areas, that was a big issue. So now these are, now in recent years, things have changed. And I think that it's still a fight that is not won, but it is a battle that we are working on.
So because independence is fairly new. I mean, it's not like life is better for women now than it would have been, say, 200 or 300 years ago if you were, you know, becoming an independent state then.
I think women's life is better now. I have actually a pretty good case. One of my sisters-in-law, she got married and she had only her elementary school finished because elementary school is compulsory in Kosovo, but high school and college is not. So she married, that's the tradition. So you are a beautiful girl and you go marry and have a good life. But she wasn't happy with that. So after she had two children, her oldest son and her graduated from college just last spring. So it's just that more opportunities and really more. My family is a lot into education. So last spring, 7 members of my family graduated from college or master's degree. And she's one of them, which is a good example that women, if they are determined and they have right place to just flourish, then they are going to do that. And there are so many young women that they want to improve and progress. But also, I think the government has to do their part because they have to give, you know, women the means to be able to fight for their own rights.
I'm going to ask this both of you. Are we making progress when it comes to women's rights around the world, do you think, in the last 10, 20 years? Or since this has started, you know, in La Crosse, recognizing International Women's Day?
I think we have more interest in it. This event on March 8th is not the only international event in La Crosse. There are numerous ones. The People's Food Co-op has one every year, which is related to women in food, women farmers, women food providers. I think of it as 2 steps forward, 1 step back. We have Virginia, who has ratified the Equal Rights Amendment, but there's all kinds of court filings against implementing that. I think we're making progress, but we still have a long way to go, specifically in getting women into more elected positions.
Lima, what are your views?
Compared to 20 years ago, you said, I think that, yes, we are doing much better. I could say that we are doing much better than 10 years ago. I am here 20 years ago. When I compare my life, I was in Kosovo, and I was, you know, trying to survive there. But now here, I am just, this is just opportunity. And I think if women are giving more opportunities, and that is a good sign, because we just, we don't want pity. We just want equal opportunities. Mm-hmm. And if we have those opportunities, we're going to grab that chance. We're not going to let go. And that's, I think, that is just the case for all women all around the world, because in a lot of cases, women are seen as just a number to fill the seat, but we shouldn't be seen that way. We have the capacity to really do what men do, and it's just we need a chance. So I think that, yes, we are given more chances, but also we are grabbing those chances, even if they are not just handed to us. We are showing that we can do it.
Mm-hmm. Lois, could you give the details of this year's event, please?
Yes, John. And I want to say, I could listen to Lima all day. And Lima is one of 4 panelists. So you will also be meeting on March 8th Dr. Wawa Toon, who is an structural and interventional cardiologist at Gunderson Health System. You'll be meeting Myra Sarfraz, who's in financial services at Marine Credit Union. And you'll be meeting Anya Meyer from Poland, and they all have compelling stories. This is a free event on Sunday, March 8th. It begins at 1 o'clock with light refreshments. The second floor of the UWL Student Union. Parking will be free in the Cleary lot, and also in the ramp closest to the student union. The program starts promptly at 1:30 with some opening remarks, and then you will hear from each of the four panelists. They will share their journey. They will talk about gender equity between their home country and their adopted country. And we will have a question and answer period following that for audience questions. There will be a selfie booth so you can pose with hashtag each for equal. And it will be a good celebration of the cultural, the political, the economic successes of women around the world. So please come and meet the neighbors you haven't met for international women from the La Crosse area.
Lois Gilbert is chair of the committee planning the March 8th International Women's Day celebration at UW-La Crosse, and Lema Kobashi is a panelist at this year's event. She's originally from Kosovo and is currently an associate professor of special education in the Department of Educational Studies at UW-La Crosse. They spoke with WPR's John Davis. Coming up, we'll talk to a history professor about the 100th anniversary of the women's suffrage movement and Wisconsin's role in the movement. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, WPR.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at WPR.org/newsmakers.